You are listening to Real Bible Answers, a weekly podcast of Life Heritage Ministries with teacher and author, Dr. Keith Augustus Burton.
Welcome to another edition of Real Bible Answers, where the answers are always realistic, exegetical, applicable, and lasting. The question for today. Dear Dr. Burton, Reverend Ted Haggard has embarrassed the Christian church by his deceptive lifestyle and his attempt to cover up his sins. What should happen to him? Well, this is indeed a relevant question. Of course, Ted Haggard was the pastor of the 14,000-member megachurch in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and also the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. Recently, it was disclosed that he allegedly had relationships with a male prostitute from Denver, Colorado. But of course, the question on hand is what should happen to him. And of course, I believe we can learn some lessons from the life of David. So of course, we know that David was also caught up in sin. He not only committed adultery, but had the husband of the woman he slept with murdered. I can imagine how the headlines looked in the Jerusalem Post when his story came out. Anyway, when we look at the life of David, there are several principles that we can learn from the incident with the adultery with Bathsheba and, of course, the murder of her husband Uriah. And the first thing we see with David is that he confessed that he did something wrong. It's very necessary that whenever a person sins, that that person confesses. And that person, of course, confesses primarily to God. But then it's also necessary for confession to take place with spouse and family and for others who have been hurt. They don't have to know all the details, but it is indeed necessary for the individual to recognize the sinfulness of his or her action. Secondly, it's necessary for a person to get in a mode of repentance. I'm talking about a mode in which a person expresses true sorrow, not sorry that he got caught, but sorry that he sinned. When we look at Psalm 51, we see that David's sorrow is expressed in some graphic terms. David looks at God and says, you know, I'm so dirty, I need you to purge me with hyssop so I should be clean and wash me so I can be whiter than snow. He calls out to God and says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. He knows that he doesn't deserve it, but he looks for God and he wants to let God know how sorry he is for what he's done. And then thirdly, after one has confessed and repented, it is necessary for that person to adapt an attitude of humility. In other words, the person has to recognize that just because they've confessed, just because they've repented, just because they may even have received forgiveness from God, does not mean that all the bad things that have been done have been erased. Yes, the guilt and the sin may be canceled, but the effects of that sin do indeed remain. People have been hurt, and it's necessary for the person who has sinned to be humble enough to accept the punishment. When we look at David's punishment, we see that he was disqualified from building the temple of God, something that I know he probably dreamt about doing all of his life. God said, you can't do it because your hands are just too dirty. And when we look at the sin of the pastor, we know that in many situations, the severity of the sin may disqualify a person from pastoring again. That person may love to pastor, but if they've brought such open disgrace on their God, there are times when they may have to step down and have to be humble enough to see that this is what God would have them do at this time. For you see, they are indeed held to a higher standard. In fact, when I think about this, David wasn't even a pastor, and God said he couldn't do this. And so those who are held to a higher standard should indeed be open to accepting whatever verdict is handed down by those who have oversight of their case. And so those are the things that are necessary on the part of the one who has sinned. First of all, true confession, true repentance, an expression of true humility. In addition to the steps taken by the person who has sinned, there are also some things that are necessary for the body of Christ to do. The first thing that the body of Christ needs to do is to confess. Yes, I said it. The body of Christ needs to confess because there's a tendency when someone gets exposed for people to take on a self-righteous mode. You know, they're sinners and we're okay. We're not okay. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, Ted Haggard may have been exposed, but there are others who are carrying on their foolishness in the dark, or others who may have done things in the past which people don't know about. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I always remember the story of Dale Moody when he saw the drunk in the gutter. He didn't look at him with a condemning finger, but basically says, "There go I, if it were not for the grace of God." So the first thing the body of Christ needs to do is to confess that we are all sinners. Secondly, the body of Christ needs to adopt a posture of forgiveness. Each time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, you know, "Forgive us even as we forgive." If we really want to receive the forgiveness of God, then we have to adapt the posture of God and extend his forgiveness to those who may have embarrassed us. And what forgiveness basically is acknowledging that there's nothing we can do to change the past. And it's basically saying to the brother, "We recognize your humanity, and we're saying that, hey, you know, we're not going to hold it against you. Because if indeed your confession was sincere, then God is not holding against you." And then thirdly, there has to be an attitude and an atmosphere of love. This is extremely, extremely important. And when we talk about love, we're talking about genuine love. We're not talking about a whimsical love that says, "Okay, we're all sinners, so it doesn't matter, you know, you can go back preaching again next Sunday." No, we're not talking about that type of love. We're talking about a principled love. And in a principled love, the person must be held accountable. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul says that we ought to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, any one of us who have been overtaken by a fault, he says, ought to be able to look to the people of God to know that we have a support system there, a people who will give us a tough love that we need, the tough love that leads to restoration. Because ultimately, that's what the person who sins need, and that's restoration. They need to be restored again to harmony with God. And so, what should happen to Reverend Ted Haggard? Hopefully, salvation should happen to him. Forgiveness should happen to him. Restoration should happen to him. I trust this helps. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Real Bible Answers. If you have a Bible question for Dr. Burton, you may send it to BibleAnswers@LifeHeritage.org. Again, that's BibleAnswers@LifeHeritage.org. Or you can send it via MP3 to BibleAnswers@Podomatic.com. That's BibleAnswers@Podomatic.com. Feel free to visit the Life Heritage webpage on www.LifeHeritage.org. From where you can access a number of services to help your spiritual life. We also appreciate your donations, which can be given securely online with your credit card, or if you prefer, you may send a check or money order to Life Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. That's Life Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. Again, thanks for listening, and always remember that a tree is known by its fruit.